Look at Revelation chapter 7. And we'll continue our answer to the question. Remember, this is our question night, and we're going to be on this one for a little bit. If you got a question on a Bible verse or a subject, put it in that box. Or maybe you got a question about a doctrine or something, then put it in there and we'll cover it. But we'll be on this just for a little bit, for a few more weeks anyway. And the question is there people saved after Jesus comes? And I think this is a misconception with a lot of people. Most people think they are. I'll just be honest with you. About 90% of people think that they will be people saved after Jesus comes. But I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not one of them. And I don't believe that's true. But really the authority for this is the Scriptures. So what I'm doing is I'm showing you really a total of 10 reasons why that this indeed is not true. Once Jesus comes, I believe that salvation is over. I believe the door's shut, and I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And I'm taking this to you, for you, of course, to look and see whether or not these things are so. We gave 4 reasons last week. And let me go ahead and I'm going to review. I'm going to take my time doing this and do a little bit each week. I wondered why a lot of people didn't pick this up, you know, last time I taught it. But I listened to the message on it, and I did it all in one message. So if you'd never heard it before, there's no way you could have retained all that with one setting. So I decided I'd go back and do it slower, and because that's the way I am. I have to get a little bit at a time. And then a review, then a little bit more. That's the way I am, and hopefully you're the same way I am. So I've made this a lot. I'm going to make it slower, a lot slower, and not deal with a whole lot at one time, and a lot of review. All right. Now the first 2 reasons that we gave is because of the 2 examples. Remember, I gave you these last week in Luke 17. Now I'm going to ask you to turn there one more time. Just keep your place in Revelation 7. And turn to Luke 17, because I want you to get this. The Lord Jesus, who was the greatest preacher that ever lived, does everybody agree with that? He was the greatest Bible teacher ever walked this planet. And when he was explaining some things about the second coming, he used 2 examples. 2 examples that they knew about of past judgments. Now we realize that there's been 2 past judgments. Oh, there's been a lot of judgments on nations, but there was the judgment at the time of Noah. God destroyed the world one time already. Everybody knows that. And God also destroyed the 2 cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that too. So he uses those 2 destructions as examples of how it's going to be when he comes again, or what he's going to do when he comes again. Now, notice what it says in verse 27 of Luke chapter 17. It says, Noah, look at the latter part of the verse. Remember, this is a quick review. Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Does everybody see that? In other words, once Noah was safe in the ark, see, he made sure, he didn't bring the flood while Noah was outside the ark, did he? But once he took Noah and he was placed safe in the ark, then the Lord, who shut the door? The Lord shut the door of the ark, and it never opened back up. Once he entered the ark, then what did God do according to this text? He destroyed them all. That's what it says. All right, he uses once again the other example of Lot, and he uses the same type of terminology. It says in verse 29, the same day that Lot went up out of Sodom, he rained fire and brimstone from heaven. What does that say? He destroyed them all. You remember, before the 2 angels, or before the judgment was brought on the 2 cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord made sure that Lot was safe. And once, remember, one of the things that the angel said to Lot when he wanted to go to the city of Zoar, he said that he requested to go there, and the angel said, we cannot do anything till you're safe. And once the man of God, once the people of God was safe, then what did he do in Sodom and Gomorrah? He destroyed them all. So he goes on to say, even so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. When Jesus Christ comes again, he's going to do exactly, it's why he uses these 2 illustrations. He's going to do exactly what he did in those 2 destructions. That's why he used them as an example. Once Noah was safe, he destroyed it. Once Lot was safe, he destroyed it. And once all of his people is safe in the rapture, then he's going to do the same thing to this earth. All God's people said. Amen. Now, if you got people saved in the tribulation, then that's a clear contradiction there. That's not what he did in Noah's day, and that's not what he did in the other example of Lot. Once they were safe, he destroyed them all. There wasn't another chance to save. There wasn't another opportunity for salvation once the people of God were safe. See the contradiction? All right. Then we looked at two examples. Two parables. Two parables to go with the two examples. The parable of the ten virgins and the parable of the straight gate. And the parable of ten virgins given in Matthew 25. Parable of the straight gate given in Luke 13. They go with the two examples, Timmy, because it says in the parable of the ten virgins, which all of you know, if you don't know it, this is a common interpretation we use, and we use this kind of terminology all the time. We're waiting on the bridegroom to come. And when we say that all the time, talking about the second coming, when the parable of the ten virgins, once the bridegroom comes and takes away his bride, you know what it says? The door is shut. The door is shut once the bride is taken out. Once God's people is taken out, the door is shut. Same thing in the parable of the straight gate. Once the master rises up, the door is shut. That goes with the two examples. So there's four reasons. It doesn't depict another opportunity to be saved. When the door is shut, folks, the door is shut. Just like on the ark, just like at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, after Lot was saved. And those two parables, all four of those, point to the fact that once Christ comes, and both of those are parables that look at the second coming, once Christ comes, then, folks, salvation's over. Salvation is over. There won't be no... At least those two examples and those two parables teach that. Now, I'm going to give you a name, and I'm going to ask you to look this up. If you have the internet, just a little study for you. If you have the internet, I want you to look this fellow's name up. Francisco, spelled just like San Francisco, but his name's Francisco Ribera. Here's R-I-B-E-R-A. R-I-B-E-R-A. Look that fellow up. He was a Jesuit. He was a Jesuit priest. He lived 1537 through 1591. Let me give you a little bit of history. Well, where basically did all of this come from? The salvation of people after Jesus comes. All of that's part of a view. And San Francisco, I know that's going to do that. Woo! Francisco Ribera, he wrote a 500-page commentary on this particular view, and he established that people were saved after the second coming. And we'll tell you a little bit about it. Let me read a little bit. Not only the Reformers proclaimed the mighty truth of justification by faith. That's back in the 1500 Reformation. Luther, Calvin, Zwingli. You've heard of all of them, haven't you? Protestant Reformers. But they nerved thousands to break from the tyranny of the Dark Ages of the papacy by explicitly identifying the Antichrist of Bible prophecy. Symbols of Daniel, Paul, and John were applied with tremendous effect. Realization that the incriminating finger of prophecy rested squarely on Rome and the papacy aroused the consciousness of Europe. Thousands upon thousands left Roman Catholicism because in the Reformation many saw successfully the Antichrist as the papacy, as the Pope. And that's the finger that the Reformers pointed, and they used that to help pull people out of Catholicism. Well, that was a rough time for Catholicism. I'm just giving you history. You can look it up. That's why I gave you the guy's name, so you can look it up. Well, since it appeared everything was falling apart, they established the order of the Jesuits, Jesuit priests, and they were defenders of the papacy. And this particular man, Francisco Ribera, was a Jesuit priest. And his is recognized as the founder of Futurism. And what he did, and I'll read to you what he did, He was from Spain. He was the founder of the futurist system of prophetic interpretation. Ribera argued that the Antichrist would appear in the distant future. Why did he put the Antichrist in the future? Somebody tell me. To get the finger off the Pope. Because they use that to pull people out of the system. Okay? So who did it? Ribera did. 500-page commentary. It pointed everybody out to the future. The Antichrist would be a single evil person, a single evil person who would be received by the Jews, would rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Antichrist would rule the world from his temple in Jerusalem for a literal 3.5 years. Does that sound familiar? Okay, listen on. Calvin and Luther and the other reformers did not write anything to refute the idea that unbelievers would have a 7-year second chance after the rapture because they never heard of such an idea. It simply was not taught by anyone. The idea that Christ would return twice, once invisibly to rapture the believers and again 7 years later to destroy the wicked world at the end of the tribulation, was a totally foreign concept. Luther and Calvin never encountered such teaching, so they did not need to refute it. The teaching didn't come till Ribera. They basically held the same view as we do, more historical view. Look it up and see. The teaching, people saved after the rapture and the Antichrist revealed in the trib and all those things, this teaching first surfaced in the modern church in the 1800s. Listen to this now. Around the time when Joseph Smith produced the Book of Mormon, in the teachings of John Nelson Darby, his commentaries, you can find that on any sword, a pastor of British fellowship known as the Plymouth Brethren, he's the one that began to pick up that same view that who held? Ribera held, and he made it popular. Keep listening now. The idea would gain popularity when C.I. Schofield incorporated Darby's teaching in the footnotes of the 1909 Schofield Reference Bible. Now you wonder where the futurist view come from? That's who you can trace it to. That's how it's got popular, folks. It's a Roman Catholic view. That's the history of it. Okay? Now what you need to do is check out and see whether what I told you was so or not. Francisco Ribera, look it up on the internet, and you'll see that that's the comment. He's the one that, here, watch him now, to get the finger off of the papacy, he pointed it out to the future. And the sad thing is, most Baptists have accepted that same futurist view that he was that a Roman Catholic Jesuit was the author of. Somebody say amen. That's exactly what happened. And that's exactly where we're at today. And it's sad. Check it out and see. Well, that particular second chance is not seen in the two examples, nor is it seen in the two parables. Now in Revelation 7, we come to the preaching tonight. We're going to look at two seals. Two seals. And let me put this up here. And boy, this is important. This one tonight, I think, is, well, they're all important because they all fit together. The outline I got, I hope, will all fit together. I think each 2 points, we're going to look at two seals and two parables, two examples, two reactions. We're going to give you a total of 10, but they should fit together perfect. And it'll be my arguments against that particular view. I think it's scary, folks, to teach people are saved after Jesus comes. And that's what all the popular movies do. Left Behind and all those movies, they do the exact same thing. They have people being saved after Jesus comes. And that's foreign to Scripture. It certainly does contradict those two parables and those two examples. All right, you with me? Now, I've had people get really mad at me over Revelation 7 and almost basically think I was a heretic. And they go to Revelation 7, verse 14. And they say, I said, you have a multitude, and I'm going to explain this further, but I'm just going to read the verse to you because I'm going to explain it to you. And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to them, These are they which came out of great tribulation. Everybody see that? So what they do is they go to Revelation 7, 14. They say, look here. Here says great tribulation. And here's saints coming out of the great tribulation. So that must be tribulation saints. All right, stop. Now, let's look at the context of what we're talking about. Everybody with me? Let's go to the context. Now, last week, we're going to look at two seals. Last week, I introduced you to the seven-sealed book. Remember in Revelation 5, you have a picture of the Lord, and he has a seven-sealed book in his hand. In Revelation chapter 5, a seven-sealed book. And each one of these seals represent events. It's going to take place before the Lord sets his kingdom up, before King Jesus rules, you know. I think that's what it's a picture of. So you're presented with this in Revelation chapter 5, okay? Now, let's go ahead and I'm not going to read you a whole bunch, but I'm just going to try to get it just as simple as I can. Now, these seven seals can be grouped into three groups. They can be grouped into three groups. Seal 1 through 5 can be group A. Seal 6, group B. And seal 7, group C. Three groups. Group all those seals in three groups is what I want to do for understanding's sake. Okay? Now, the first five seals in Revelation 6 is depicted as a white horse, a red horse. You've heard of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. White horse, the red horse, the black horse, and a pale horse, which means a greenish tinted, look like it's sick, greenish tinted horse. Four horsemen. And those first four seals of the four horsemen, almost everybody will agree that the white horse represents false religion. I mean, really, I don't have to go in to prove that to you, because about anybody you want to read after will tell you that. False religion. The red horse pictures wars and rumors of wars, bloodshed being red. The black horse is a picture of famine. And the pale horse is a picture of death other than by natural causes. Death by sickness, disease, earthquakes, you know, catastrophes, death, murders, all of that is what the fourth horseman picture. You got that? White horse, false religion. Red horse, wars, rumors of wars. Famines. Greenish horse, death. And about anybody you read after, like, that's why I'm not going to go into a lot of time doing that. Now, if you turn with me to Matthew 24, I want you to notice that Jesus taught the same thing in Matthew 24. He taught the same thing there. I'm not going to go into detail explaining the horsemen, because we basically everybody knows that. And that what I just give you is not controversial. Most people think that those symbols represent what I just gave you. Matthew 24, Jesus is explaining some details about his coming and the last days. That's what he says. Verse 4, watch the white horse. It don't say a white horse here, but it's the same kind of picture as in Revelation 6. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Is that false religion? That's also the first seal in Revelation 6. They go together. Verse 6 of Matthew 24, you shall hear of what? Wars and rumors of wars. What color horse was that in Revelation 6? Red horse. You see, that goes together. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Folks, there'll never be peace on earth until the Prince of Peace reigns. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines. What color horse is that in Revelation 6? It was a black horse. Famines. Pestilences. That's sickness. Grievous sicknesses. Plagues and so forth. And earthquakes in different places. That was the greenish horse, remember? See how it goes together? All four of those, Matthew 24, Revelation 6, they go together. They see the same thing. All right? Now, I want you to pick up one thing here. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. The word afflicted, you want to underline the word afflicted in verse 21 and 29, is translated tribulation. It's translated tribulation. In other words, the saved would go through a tribulation. Underline afflicted. Does your Bible have, what's your Bible say, Jeff? Tribulation. It puts tribulation down there. And that's the best, that's how it's translated in verse 21 and 29. The saved would face a time of tribulation. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. Means the saved's going to be persecuted. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many shall be offended, and they shall betray one another and hate one another. All right, now let's turn to Revelation 6. Everybody with me so far? Everybody see? Do you see how both those go together? Now, we've looked at seal 1 through 4. Now, let's look at seal number 5. Verse 9 says, and when he had opened, Revelation 6 and verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on the earth and to the, on them that dwell on the earth? Now, what is the fifth seal picture of? Persecution of the saved. Martyrs. Martyrs. Is there martyrs today? Sure are. Have they been martyrs? 50 million died martyrs in the dark ages. You know, a lot of them. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed would be fulfilled. That means there's more coming. In other words, as long as this world remains until King Jesus comes, God's people is going to be persecuted. It's called a tribulation, Brother Coy. All right, now, if you look at the board, I want you to see the time frame that we're talking about. Of course, this represents the cross, the time of the cross. Seal 1 through 5. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't think we're waiting on false religion to start happening, do you? Wars are rumors of wars. Famines, sickness, pestilence, or persecution of the saved. I think you can look and see that seal 1 through 5 are happening, have been happening, all during this time frame. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that generation would see these things, and they did. I don't think we're waiting to see those things. I think those things are happening, and I think you can look and see it. So the first five seals is, directly a persecution of the saved, but you know the saved also experience, not only do they experience persecution, but they go through earthquakes, famines, sickness, disease, death. God's people experience that on this earth. You see, all of us do. I mean, at one time or the other, you see God's people have to go through. Sometimes they go through famines. Everybody got that? So seal 1 through 5 is already happening. Now, that's where there's the disagreement, because they'll try to put that out here. Folks, you can see it's happening. You can see it's happening then, okay? Now, we're waiting on the sixth seal. Jim died. We're waiting on the sixth seal. Now, the sixth seal hadn't happened. The sixth seal is the rapture. The rapture of the saved. The rapture of the saved. We don't say rapture of the church because the church is an institution. Lord established to spread His gospel. And there's people that's saved, and it's not in the church. And it's a confusion. It's a confusion between the church and the kingdom. Everyone that's saved makes up the kingdom. Everyone that's saved is a part of the kingdom. But the church is an institution that Jesus established for spreading the gospel, teaching His people. And the confusion over that is causing people not to seek a local church. So I'm not going to get off on that. I just mentioned it. So it's the rapture of the saved. That's seal number what? 6. All right, let's look at that seal. Let's look at that seal. Remember, I'm showing you that there's no one saved into tribulation. And the reason why I'm showing you that is because the sixth seal and the seventh seal is two different seals, aren't they? All right, you follow along with me now. Revelation 6, and when he, verse 12, and when he had opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. You can see the same thing in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and Mark 13, I think it is. Is that right? Mark 13. Okay. And it says, the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon turned as blood. Does everybody see that? The sun will be darkened, and the moon turns as blood. Now, when you think of the sun darkened and the moon turned as blood, when you think blood, you think red, but blood's also black. You ever seen dried blood? What's it look like? It's black looking. And, of course, the moon has no sun or no light of itself. If you darken the sun, what's going to happen to the moon? It's going to be dark. That'll be the sign he's on his way, I believe. That'll be a sign he's coming. You'll see that, I believe. Sun will be darkened, the moon turned as blood. Stars of heaven will fall on the earth. Meteors will hit the earth. As a fig tree casts its untimely figs, the heaven will depart as a scroll, as it's rolled together, and every mountain and island will be moved out of their places. That's the great earthquakes. Okay? The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? I mean to tell you, all the judgment of the Lord is getting ready to fall upon this old wicked earth. Just like it was during the days of Noah, just like it was during the time of Lot. All of it was getting ready to fall. Everybody there? Now, before I do this, I want you to think of something. Everybody, are we waiting on the day of redemption? I'm setting you up is really all I'm doing. Are we waiting on the day of redemption? Now, get what I'm saying. The day I was saved, I was redeemed. But there's a future part of my redemption. We used to sing a song here at the church that said, lift up your head for your redemption draws nigh. And the day of redemption, Sister Betty, is the day we get our new body. Everybody agree with that? All right, everybody agrees with that, don't they? Now, when are we going to get our new body? What's that day? Timmy, isn't that at the rapture? When Jesus comes again, he's coming with the sound of a trumpet, the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the second coming. Here it says the sun will be darkened and the moon turned as blood. All right, let's turn to Luke 21 now. Do you agree with that? Luke chapter 21. Watch the same thing. There shall be signs, verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars upon the earth, distress of the nations, perplexity, and the sea and the waves will be roaring, probably from the earthquakes. Men's heart failing them for fear, for the looking after of those things that are coming on the earth. And then shall they see. Everybody say, see. Say it one more time. It's not a secret. It's not a secret. It's not something that happens where no one knows what just happened. They see it. Now, I can show you a lot of other verses ago. You can look that up yourself. Every eye shall see him, Revelation 1 said, even those that pierced his side. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, what's it say? Lift up your heads for what's happening. All right. So you're with me now. Okay? The day of redemption. Now, it said the sun will be darkened and the moon turned as blood. That's a sign he's on his way. But when that happens, Eddie, that's also the day of your redemption. That's the day you get your new body. That's also the rapture. So the sixth seal is the rapture. The sixth seal is the rapture. Okay? That's not happened yet. We're waiting on that to happen. It's not happened yet, but it's going to. All right, let's turn back to Revelation chapter 7. All right, in chapter 6, all of this judgment is getting ready to fall. It's getting ready to happen, Coy. The sun is darkened. The moon turned as blood. Men's hearts are failing them for fear. Why are they so fearful? They know what's getting ready to happen.
Amen, that's right.
They're shook up. Remember, Matthew 24 says, all the tribes of the earth shall mourn and wail because of him. Don't sound like they think there's a second chance, does it? At least the scriptures don't present it that way. Francisco Ribera presented it that way. That's not the way God's men presented it in the past. I'm telling you. Okay? All right. All this wrath is preparing to happen. Verse 2 said, I saw another angel. Revelation 7, verse 2, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels to which it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have done what? Sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. In other words, all this judgment's getting ready to pound down, buddy, just like in the days of Noah and Lot. But before it can be happened, he had to get his servants out of there first. Just like he did in the past, Tim. Just like he did in the past. He's going to make sure they're safe and out before the judgment falls. See, you have these angels who are getting ready to bring it. And then go, wait, let me get my servant. Let me seal my servants. And it lists 12 tribes of Israel, 144,000. I can't get off on that tonight. But then it mentions in verse 9 that there is a multitude which no man could number. That's what I want to focus on now. Though a great multitude, verse 9, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Everybody still follow me? You with me, Tim? And one of the elders answered in verse 13 and said, who are these that are arrayed in white robes? Now, who was it? Who would it say in verse 9 was arrayed in white robes? It was the multitude which no man could number. Who are these people? And he said, these are they which come out of great tribulation. All right. What seal are we on? Somebody tell me. Six. Revelation 7 is the sixth seal. What is the sixth seal? It's the rapture. It's the day of redemption. That's the sixth seal. You say, why does it say they come out of great tribulation? What did Matthew 24 say? That the saints would go through all during this time persecution. The tribulation that these people come out of is a tribulation of wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, sickness, disease, pestilence, false religion, and persecution of the saved. That's the tribulation that they come out of. Don't get the true seals confused. That's what's causing all the confusion and why people think I'm a heretic. We're on the sixth seal. This one, Jimmy. The sixth seal. Revelation 7 is the sixth seal. Before all this judgment falls, he makes sure his people's out, just like he did before in the days of Noah, and just like he did in Lot, and just like he said he'd do in the parable of the 10 virgins, and just like he did in the parable of the straight gate. He gets his people out first. What's the seventh seal? Somebody want to tell me? It's judgment. Now, when's the seventh seal happen? Revelation 8. Revelation chapter 8 says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, where's God's people in chapter 8? Somebody want to tell me? They're in heaven. He got them out of here. He said he was getting ready. All this judgment, the wrath of the Lamb was coming. But he said, hold it. Get them out. He gets them out. That's the sixth seal, Mike. And then you go to chapter 8, and that's the seventh seal. Thank God we're not here. That's pre-trib, pre-millennial. The seventh seal is that, I'm going to just tell you about the seventh seal. You can read about it. The seventh seal, in the seventh seal you have seven trumpets. You have an angel blow a trumpet, and a plague falls on the earth. Another angel blows a trumpet, another plague falls. Then at the seventh trumpet, it's divided into seven bowls. Each one of these is wrath. It's judgment, folks. It's judgment. He's judging the earth. What seal is that again? The seventh seal is the tribulation. See, folks get the seals messed up. That's what's causing all the confusion. Revelation 7, I read all kinds of articles. There, Revelation 7, 14, there's tribulation saints. Well, you've got to get your tribulation straight too. The tribulation, the wars and rumors of wars, these people come out the sixth seal. Seventh seal is the judgment of the earth. Oh, by the way, the seventh seal takes place after the saved are safe in heaven. Now, everybody has to agree with that, don't they? The seventh seal takes place after the sixth seal. And we already said that the sixth seal, Jim, died, was also the day of redemption. You put all those texts together, that's the day of the rapture. So once the saved are safe in heaven, then comes the seventh seal. And the seventh seal is the judgment of the lost. Or the judgment upon the... It's the destruction of the earth is what it is. Okay? So don't run to Revelation 7:14 and say, here, there's tribulation saints. No, that's the sixth seal. You link it with Matthew 24 and you can see that. God's people's not here in Revelation 8. That's the seventh seal. Okay? I'll show you one more thing. We'll stop. I'm not going to go no farther. I'm going to let you dwell on that for a while. Stew on it a while. Eat on it a while, see? And then I'm going to wind this up tonight, and then I'm going to take you back and show you. Revelations tells you the attitudes of the people that are left behind in two responses. And I'm going to tell you right now, it don't show you nobody that's saved in that. Well, Jeff, it just looks like someone will be saved after seeing all those things. Folks, men are dead. It don't make no difference what they say. I mean, for crying out loud, look at all Pharaoh and the Egyptians saw, and still yet he rode his chariot down after them. Men are dead, folks. They're dead. They can see. Look at all the miracles the people saw at the time of Christ and yet tried to kill him. It takes an open heart. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon turned as blood. Now when the sun is going to be darkened, we've already established that that's the day of redemption also. So that's the rapture. But here it says after tribulation of those days. Now follow that. Oh gosh, follow that, please. I want you to see that. Notice what it says, verse, immediately after tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon turned as blood. You see that, Timmy? When's the sun darkened? Is that not the same thing as the sixth seal? The sixth seal takes place immediately after tribulation of those days. What tribulation is that? It's these days. Goes right with Revelation 6. Now watch this and see if this just don't sound like 1 Thessalonians 4. Immediately after tribulation of those days, that's the tribulation of wars, rumors of wars, famine, sickness, disease, pestilence, persecution of the Christian, and persecution of the Jewish nation. That's also prophesied in Matthew 24. Because it would last from 70 A.D. all the way down to Christ. There'll never be a nation that's go through the tribulation the Jewish nation goes through. And they're in it now. They've been persecuted tremendously. That's another subject. I wish I hadn't even mentioned it. Okay? All right, watch this now. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon turned shall not give her light. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Is that the rapture? Sure, it's the rapture. It's the day the sun is darkened, the moon turned as blood. It's the rapture. And see if it don't sound like the rapture. It says, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. What are they mourning for? They're lost. Unless they watch Left Behind, then they'll think they got another chance. And they shall see the Son of Man coming. They shall do what again? See it. It's not a secret. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send forth his angels, and they shall gather together with the great sound of a trumpet. That sounds like 1 Thessalonians 4, don't it? They shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. That's the rapture. You see, that rapture takes place after tribulation of these days. Okay? All right. This all goes together. It's wind us up. Once Noah was safe, in destruction. Once Lot was safe, in destruction. There was no salvation once God's people were then, before he brought the destruction, he made sure they were safe. Everybody sees that. Jesus used that as an illustration. He gave two parables, and in those two parables, once the master comes, the door's shut, which goes with the two examples he used. Now, when we look at these two seals, and the sixth seal, he makes sure his people are safe, taken safely out. And then in the seventh seal is the what? Judgment. The two seals goes with the two examples and the two parables. They all fit together perfectly. See, this is a total look at the scriptures with regard to prophecy. Now, if you got people being saved here, then you're contradicting the examples, the parables, and you're getting your seals confused. And I think that's what the problem is. All right. Now, I'm stopping with that, and you chew on that a while, and then come back next Sunday night, and we'll venture on something else. I'm going to finish this unless I get more questions, then we'll cover some other things. Let's all stand. I'll stop. All right.